welcome to the weekend. Welcome to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Lee. I'm the teaching pastor at our Plain City campus. Thanks for being with me today as you just want to continue to invest in your relationship with Jesus. This past Sunday, we've been talking. It's been, you know, exciting walking through Song of Songs and kind of seeing this this progression in their relationship, right? And from the pursuing each other to the wedding day to the honeymoon. And then we finally get to this past week where it's conflict enters the equation, doesn't it? Which is so true, right? Maybe you even heard in your job or relationships, right? There's the honeymoon phase, right? Oh, the honeymoon's over. And it just is a way of saying, man, conflict has a way of working its way in. And that happens, right? In our closest relationships, conflict can be inevitable. One of the things when I was dating my my wife, and I would go and visit her. She grew up in Dayton, in Centerville. And so I would go and hang out with her family. They're like tennis people. They love playing tennis and all the things. And so in their backyard, they have like a badminton, which is essentially right. Like you'd play, I don't know if anybody does badminton anymore, but right. You got the little thing and you hit the little birdie over the net. It's kind of like a little mini tennis. And so I'd go out there and I'm a super competitive person. Like I love to win. And so we're playing chess. I want to win. Checkers. I want to win. Right. Like any sort of sport. And I'm just super competitive in that way. And so, you know, I go to our family and they're out there playing. I'm like, okay, here we go. And I come to find out, they're not even keeping score. Her brothers and mom, they're just playing. I'm like, what are we doing here? Like, who's winning? They're like, I don't know. We're just hitting. We're just having fun. Right. I'm like, what is wrong with you people? Like who plays a game and doesn't keep score? How do you know who wins in the end? And you know what? It was really starting to, for me, what that was really kind of drawing out was the sense of I love to win. And guess what was going to happen in my marriage? I'm going to want to win. And so pretty soon Michelle and I would have differences of opinions and I would be trying to convince her why I was right. And what can end up happening is I would try to fight to win. Right, I'd want to win the argument. I'd want to make my point. And here's what I learned. And this is really what I talked about on Sunday, is that healthy marriages learn to fight for each other instead of with each other. Right? Now, here's the deal. You're going to fight with your spouse. You're going to fight with your friends. You're going to fight with your boyfriend or girlfriend or fiance. Like there are things that you are going to disagree on, right? You should like every relationship, there's disagreements on. You don't see everything exactly the same. But here's what has got to happen, and it needed to happen in my life and in my marriage. And if you're married in your marriage, and if you're not, maybe one day, we have to learn how to fight. We got to learn how to fight well with the people that we love. And here's the deal, we can end up fighting with each other rather than for each other. And that's what this section in Song of Solomon really helped us to see, is how do we learn to fight for our spouses? How do we learn to fight for each other? Because what we can see happen is selfishness can enter the equation. And that can push us apart. You see, that's what happens, right? With conflict, it often begins when we don't get what we want, right? The bride here, the Shulamite, she has a dream. And her husband, beloved, comes knocking at the door. It's late at night. He's gotten caught up at work. He's coming in late behind. She's in bed. She's probably wanting to spend some, you know, some good old time with her hubby. And he's late. He's not there. And she's frustrated. And so she doesn't go and open the door for him, right? She keeps him out. And she's just, in essence, she didn't get what she wanted. She had expectations. And those unmet expectations is where disappointment, bitterness, frustration, anger, resentment start to creep in. And that what happens is selfishness that she was having in that moment, rather than hearing him out, rather than opening the door, it was pushing them apart. You see, when me becomes more important than we, distance is inevitable. When me becomes more important than we, distance is inevitable. And selfishness can begin to create distance long before it ever creates disaster, right? Most marriages, they don't explode overnight. There's not the affair, the separation, the emotional disconnect. No, no. Those are the disasters. But what ends up happening is the distance begins years earlier in 1,000 selfish decisions. Some that your spouse doesn't know about and some that maybe you're not even aware of. You see, because what we neglect today can become what we regret tomorrow. And that's where in this text, we start to begin to see how repentance is how we begin to turn around, because she begins to regret what had happened, right? She, in verse 6 in chapter 5, I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had turned and gone. My soul failed me. When he spoke, I sought him, but found him not. I called him, but he gave no answer. You see, the bride's regret became the catalyst for her repentance. She realizes, oh my goodness, my selfishness is pushing the one I love away. And her sorrow, it leads her now to begin to seek restoration, because the wounds of regret can become the doorway to repentance. And how does repentance begin? Well, for her and for many of us, it begins when we stop looking through the window at our spouse and we start looking in the mirror at ourselves. Think about that. We often look through the window to see what they are doing wrong, what mistakes they've made. And some of you are really good at keeping score rather than looking at the mirror and looking at ourselves and owning and taking responsibility for our part rather than making excuses. Because what's going to end up in changing us? Man, godly sorrow, it leads to godly change, which ultimately that's where the text ends, is reconciliation is what brings us back together. Repentance starts with one person. It starts with you. It starts with me. But reconciliation requires two people. And you see this desire they have is now she's pursuing him. She's in, go and look for my beloved. Where is he? And then she hears him, right? She calls him her friend, her beloved. His mouth is most sweet. He's altogether desire. This is my beloved. This is my friend. But she can't find him. And then finally, her bride comes back. And he responds with affirmation rather than accusation. You are beautiful as Tirzah, my love. Lovely as Jerusalem. Awesome as an army with banners. Turn away your eyes from me, for they overwhelm me. You see, reconciliation begins when being restored becomes more important than being right. You see, reconciliation can begin to happen when we care more about restoration than being right. Because healthy marriages learn to fight for each other instead of with each other. You see, we can learn to pursue reconciliation because we have been reconciled by Christ. Isn't that the gospel? That we can reconcile with one another because God in Christ reconciles us to himself, right? All of this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, God in Christ was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, not keeping score, rather entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Those were the words from the Apostle Paul to the church in Corinth. And so today, as you think about your life, maybe your marriage, right? How are you fighting for each other? Who are you fighting with? And in that fighting, what is driving that? Are there some things that you need to own that maybe some pride and selfishness creeping up in your life? Or perhaps there's repentance and beginning to turn to your spouse and to admit, hey, this is where I have failed. Will you forgive me? And begin to pursue each other, right? Rather than trying to keep score with each other. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the way it transforms us. And so God, I pray for all of our marriages, our future marriages, our current marriages. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be men and women, husbands and wives, Lord, who fight for each other. That, Lord, we would learn that discipline of not to let pride get in the way, but letting love drive us to forgive, to repent, to reconcile with the ones that we love. Because, God, that is what you have done for us in Christ. We pray these things all in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't you take a moment and why don't you pray?